Zigzag and One, a place where we honestly discuss how to navigate the zigs and zags in our crazy lives. Expect heartwarming stories, some laughter, and maybe a few tears as we embrace life's challenges and choose joy over a momentary defeat. Today, we will hear from someone whose life has had some unexpected turns, but chose to keep moving forward. What did they learn? Some valuable life lessons. Zigs and zags are also a part of our host, Melanie Brown's journey. She too had to find the determination to never give up. What are we waiting for? Let's dive in.
Thanks for joining me on the Zigzag in One podcast. I'm your host, Melanie Brown. I am so excited to be back with you for season three. Hey, did you notice the new music and the new intro by my friend Emily Poulos? I'm loving it. Friend, there's no doubt, each of us experienced some highs and some lows during 2020. But we made it! And aren't we glad, oh I know I am, to see 2021. I knew each of us could benefit from learning about how to find joy during tough times, because our tough times with the pandemic, it's not over yet. So I specifically invited Adria Wilkins to be for the first episode of 2021, and here's why. She was determined to find joy after going through the tragic loss of her three-year-old son, Blake. She's an author and a podcaster who's married to Eric. They have three children and one super cute grandson. Her career as an author and a podcaster might seem to be a far cry from her childhood dream of being a police officer, but if you step back for a minute and think about it, investigating and being on the lookout for joy, well, that's what her whole ministry is about. Make sure you listen through the outro to learn how to get your name in the drawing for her book, The Joy Box Journal. You want this book. Join me for my conversation with my friend, Adria Wilkins. I am full of joy to kick off season three of the Zigzag in One podcast with my guest, Adria Wilkins. The theme of her ministry in life is joy. What makes that so astounding is she has walked through the deepest pain and grief. Even if we haven't experienced pain and grief, most of us yearn to experience true joy. Adria has much to share about finding and choosing joy. I am so super excited for you to be with us today. Adria, welcome.
Thank you, Melanie, for having me on here. I appreciate it so much.
I loved your book, The Joy Box.
Well, thank
you. It's fabulous.
Thank you.
I just cannot even wait for us to talk about it today. I wish the readers could see. I have read and made notes in your book because there were so many great truths and great opportunities for us to think about joy. And you make a very emphatic point that we have to choose joy.
Yes, we do.
Yes. You dedicated your book to your son, Blake. When I read the chapter about his struggles and then his last days, I honestly cried. I can't get in your shoes because I haven't experienced that, but I cannot even imagine looking at your child and knowing that he's not going to be with you anymore and that there was nothing that you could do to prevent him from passing away. No parent wants to say goodbye to their child, but at three, that became your deepest pain. Would you share about Blake and how he impacted your family? Because that was beautiful.
Yes, Blake was born with a lot of medical problems, spina bifida being the key problem. But then he had some other issues and he was on a ventilator all of his life. But a lot of people will draw a picture in their brain of like this really bad looking situation where the child or someone is just laying there in a vegetative state. And I don't mean to say it that way, but that's just the best way I can say it. But little Blake was active like every other child. He could move from his waist up. He just couldn't move his legs. And so even though he was on a ventilator, that little thing could get up and play. He learned 15 sign language words. He threw and made a mess with every kind of toy and medical supply that you can imagine. He liked to get in the medical supply drawer and throw just syringes everywhere. And yeah, he did. And that was his favorite thing to do, is to empty the medical supply drawer in his room. So we put him in standing frames and wheelchairs and stuff like that, because we wanted his life to be as normal as possible. When he was first born, we had no idea that he was going to be born with medical problems. And so when he was first born, he was born by emergency C-section. Within a few minutes, he was care flighted 2 hours away to Dallas, Texas. I was left in the hospital without a child. But I had had a baby. And so my husband went to Dallas, and I stayed back where our child, we had another daughter that was 5 years old. And so as I lay there, I thought, where is Katie? And then I had to wait and find out from my husband that she was with this friend. And it ended up, because back then we really didn't have cell phones. Mm-hmm. We did, but they were too expensive to have. Really, the only way I was able to see my child, I saw a glimpse of him before they flew him out. A friend of ours bought a Polaroid camera, and when anybody from the church, which my husband's a minister, by the way, I have to stop and say that, we had a pretty large church, and they would all go and visit Eric, my husband, and just go there to be an encouragement. And so when they would go, this church member bought this Polaroid camera. When they were there, they would take pictures, and they would bring the pictures back and show them to me at the hospital where I was, because I was at the hospital for 4 or 5 days myself. Mm. So that's how I saw my child for the first 5 days of his life, is through Polaroid pictures.
That's just so sad to think about, not having that time right at the birth to bond with your child. How soon before you knew that he had medical issues?
Well, didn't know until I woke up from the emergency C-section. And I heard my husband sniffing a little bit, and I said, what's wrong? And so then that's when he told me, and I really didn't know that much about spina bifida. And I just said, well, is he going to live? And my husband was like, yeah, but we're going to, you know, have some tough days ahead. So while we were, you know, my first 5 days, I journaled. I actually wrote things that happened, because I wanted to have those special memories. So many people were wrapping their arms around us and encouraging us and supporting us. And back then, you had to have, since we didn't have cell phones, you use these little cards, calling cards, you know, phone cards, and you would call that way for long distance. So people would give us those. And that's how my husband and I would talk a lot of times, so we didn't have to incur long distance phone charges. I journaled because I wanted to be able to go back and to show, you know, my son, my family, all the blessings that happened, even though it was a difficult time. So my journaling started back in July 1999 when he was born. So I continued to journal on and off through his 3 years of his life, because you would not believe, even when I look back at those journals, it is overwhelming to see all that was done and the hundreds of churches that prayed for us. It was so cool to write down the names of churches all over the world that were praying for our situation. And so it was a fun little experiment. And so I wanted to also be able to pass that along to people, to encourage them, no matter what they're going through, you know, journal about it, because when you look back at it, you're going to be amazed, because we do forget a lot of the little things that happen in our lives. And it's neat to be able to look back and say, wow, that's an integral part of my life. And so journaling became an integral part of my life, and I didn't even know it at the time.
I am so impressed that you thought to journal and to process and to record all of the things that happened, because you're right. Those are incredibly valuable years later to look back on, because yes, we don't remember the small things. And the small things are really the big things.
Yes, they are.
To know all of the people that surrounded you and poured love into you and prayed for you and your family and your son, I can't even imagine how valuable that was. Did you journal beforehand? Like, was that something that you practiced?
No, that's why I say that's where it began.
And so you continued all through those 3 years of Blake's life.
Oh, yes.
I can't even imagine the, I guess what I'm thinking of is the specific instances of people coming. And did you record their exact words? Because sometimes we remember what people say, but we remember bits and pieces of it. And we get that warm, happy feeling. But to see the actual words, to me, would feel on a different level.
Yes. There are a lot of situations where I did write either, most of the time people brought gifts. A lot of times they brought food. You just would not believe if I would pull that journal out for you and show you there are it's page after page of things that people did and brought. And, you know, we got all these cards in the mail. I have a huge box of cards that we received when Blake was born, but also when he passed and during his days of daily life, and got emails. We did have email back then, even though we didn't have phone. I'm really sounding old.
That's okay. We're middle-aged, and that's not a bad place to be.
That's right. And so I have a lot of those emails that I have printed out, and I have them in a three-ring binder because I like to put cards in emails and special things like that that people have said that have really spoke to me and had an impact on me. I remember I had a bookkeeping business, and one of my bookkeeping clients actually called and said, I heard what happened, and I just want you to know that I work for the Shriners Hospital. And he said, if there's anything I could do for you, please let me know. And something about that hit me, and I just wept and cried because I thought, a bookkeeping client, why would they reach out? But why would they even feel compelled to go that extra step of saying, you know, whatever you need, you let me know and I will try to help you with it. So it is those things that I wrote about. And I remember one day Blake had a lot of spells where he would not breathe right. And you hear people say code blue in the hospital, and that just means that they, you know, are dying. And so Blake would have these episodes of code blue, or he would actually turn like a grayish blue color because he wasn't getting enough air. And so some days we would really have three or four of those episodes.
Wow.
And some days we would think, we just don't know how much more of this that we can handle. And we would get a doorbell ring, and there would be someone from church with a loaf of bread and a gallon of milk. And we would be like, how did you know that we needed that today? They were just like, we just felt like God wanted us to bring this by. And so it was stuff like that. And like I said, that's everyday little moments, but they really did add up to warm our hearts, to help us to be able to push forward and to say, God, we know that you have us in your heart and mind, and you know what we're going through, and when we're living at the edge that we're not sure if we can make it another moment, there's always someone that has stepped forward. And so I always tell people, you know, if someone blesses you by bringing you something or blesses you with a gift card, let them bless you. Let them give you that gift. You know, people sometimes say, I don't want, you know, you don't have to do that. Let them do it. You know why? Because they're going to receive a blessing from it. And then you're going to receive a blessing as well. And it's just a full circle of heart, a heartwarming and a joyful experience that you won't forget, I promise.
I've heard several other people talk about that. When people do things for you, just say thank you and appreciate that, because it does bless them. And especially if you have somebody in your life that's going through something similar to yours, or a divorce, or any number of things that happen to us in life, let those people care for you. Even if you have been the one to always be the caregiver, it is a blessing to take care of other people and to pour love into them. So I love that you brought that up. Let's talk for a minute about the different struggles, and you don't have to go into exact details, but how did you keep the joy during the struggles of Blake's life? Because I'm sure there were days that you were exhausted. There were days where you were frustrated because he wasn't getting better. There were days where no matter what you did, it was just hard. How do you keep joy during those kind of times?
Last year, like 2019, when my book came out, I actually had to sit down and ask my husband, how did we continue to live in joy and not go crazy?
Yes, that's exactly what I'm asking.
And I actually reached out to a friend of mine, sister's mother-in-law. They lost a child when he was 16 years old in a car wreck. And I've had her on my podcast as well. I called her that same summer when I was asking my husband that. How do we still have joy even though we've lost a child? And she said, you know, that is a great question. And we all came to the conclusion that, and we don't want it to sound like a bad answer, but that it was God and our faith in him that helped us say, no matter what happens, he, Jesus, is our joy. And if we have him in our lives, he's always there. And so everything else, whether it's good or bad, we can still find joy in that situation. So Cindy Smith, my sister's mother-in-law, they donated her son's organs, and he was able to help five or six people. Okay. So she says, you know, that brought me joy to know that his life is still continuing to impact people. And the same thing with our son, Blake. Even talking about him now, he would be 21 years old and we're still talking about him. He is still touching and impacting people's lives. It's because that we have continued to say, we are not going to let that steal our joy. There's a reason that God brought him into this world for 3 short years. There's a reason for everything. This is why I journaled, because we had people reach out to us that we didn't even know. They actually found our website through a friend of a friend, or someone at work told them about our situation. So one day, my husband was at church working in the office, and someone called and said, hey, you don't know me, but I would like to come by and see you. And he said, there's a gentleman at your church that told me about your situation. So I went and looked at your website. And he said, I decided that if little Blake can live through all that he does, then my marriage can make it. He said, my wife and I have been talking about getting a divorce. And he said, little Blake's life and his story saved our marriage. How in the world does that happen? Because little Blake was in his room almost his entire life. So how does a little boy that never leaves the house save a marriage? It's only because of this testimony and the story and the faith that we try to walk out. Now, I'm not going to tell you that, oh, every day was joyful and we laughed all the time. There were days that we wept and cried and screamed and beat our, you know, hands on the table. But I would go in each morning and see little Blake smile, or he would do these loud kisses with his hand, and he'd be like that. And those would make me smile, and those would make it seem all worthwhile.
I love that. I think it is about focus, though, because life is hard. I mean, we deal with all kinds of struggles and circumstances and difficult situations. You can focus on that, and you can get overwhelmed with that. And you can get frustrated and defeated and just want to throw in the towel with all of that, especially this silly pandemic. I mean, who hasn't wanted to say, oh, and just be done with it? But we can't. But I think what I hear you saying is that you chose to focus on the good that was happening all around, the people that were loving on you and loving on Blake and pouring into you and hearing stories like you just said about that man. That has to be a way for us to really realize that you can find joy because you are looking for it and you are choosing it. Because I think it's always around. Sometimes the difficult circumstances, at least in my experiences, can get overwhelming to where you feel like they're clouding anything that's good.
Yes.
But your book, from reading it and taking notes and thinking about what your stories conveyed, at least to me, it led me to think, we have a choice, no matter if we're having a good day or a bad day. There's great things around that bring us joy. And again, if we have Jesus, he gives us all kinds of joy.
Right.
So I love hearing what the examples that you gave today and in your book. And then later in your book, you had friends that said, didn't you ask God why he took Blake? And how did you continue having joy? Well, we talked about that some. Were there struggles about God taking Blake? And if so, how did you deal with that?
I will tell you this, that I've had friends that have said, did you ever ask why? You know, because everybody tends to ask, why did this happen to me? Why did I get the coronavirus? Why did this happen? And I said, no. And they're like, how in the world did you not ever say why? And I said, why? Why ask why? We had to live with what we were given. And so we had to make a choice and say, you know what? Here is our situation. Our son is on a ventilator. We've got to learn how to take care of him. We have to learn how to function each day to try to make it through that. And so, you know, no matter what you're going through, you may say why, but I think if you will look, instead of questioning why, I think if you will say, here we are, and this is one thing that I try to do. I say, what is the truth about this situation right now? Here is the truth. We're in a pandemic, but you know what? There are some really cool things that have happened during this pandemic.
Yes, ma'am.
One was, yes, the children did not go to school, but over the summertime, and it happened here in our area, I'm sure it happened where you are, children normally do not go to school in the summertime. And so they normally do not get breakfast and lunch during the summer. During this past summer, children and parents could go to school and pick up lunch, breakfast and lunch to have for their children. That did not happen in years past. And so that is one little thing I can name, and I've got a list of other things that have happened, that people have gotten creative in how they look at things and how they plan for things. But I encourage you, and one of the things I did during the pandemic, because I couldn't go to the gym, is I walked in our backyard. And so I walked back and forth. And every day I would notice something different. And the only reason that I did is because I was looking. But I would notice there were different little wildflowers each day. One day there were so many of those little yellow dandelions that I got to thinking about how all the people in our lives are like little dandelions, that they may be in a cluster, and those may be some of our friends during that time of our life. And then here's another cluster of dandelions, and maybe that's another batch of friends. So then I began, as I'm walking back and forth, to pray for those different friends that have come into my life, that have journeyed with me in my life. Well, good grief, you would not believe how much time passed and how much walking I was able to do, because I was praying for these different people and the things that were going on in their lives. I tell people all the time, if you will just get outside for just a few minutes and walk somewhere, I guarantee you, you will see something you haven't seen before. You will find something that you've never encountered. One day I was walking down the road here and somebody had lost a bunch of change, and it wasn't just pennies, it was a bunch of quarters. And so I counted that as a profitable walk, you know? So I just encourage people that it doesn't matter what you're going through in your life. Maybe you do have an illness that is just really really taken you down. Maybe it's a job loss. People this year in California lost their homes to fires. But there were people that donated and helped some of these people. And I was able to be part of that and to see how it impacted those people's lives. I think if we will just stop and look, and that's why my motto is to look out for joy. Wherever you are, wherever you go, I guarantee you, if you just stop and look, there will be something that will make you smile and laugh. And it never fails. That happens to me when I'm out and about. That's what I encourage each person that's listening, is to look, because God's creation, oh my goodness, flowers and leaves and trees, you could spend hours thanking God and being in amazement about all that.
I would agree. My favorite place is in the mountains on nature trails. I absolutely adore that time.
Yes.
Tell us about how you constructed your book, The Joy Box, because it's not like a normal book. It's interactive, but it also has something in the front and the back cover that's very unique that I absolutely loved. So I want to make sure before we wrap up today that the listeners know about your book specifically. It's called The Joy Box. If you would, tell us about it.
All right. It's called The Joy Box Journal. Originally, whenever I wrote the book, I wanted to do something different and unique. I wanted it to be interactive. I wanted people to be able to not just read it, but to do something with it. When I turned in my proposal to the publisher, I did not actually include the idea of having a box in the front cover or anything else. And I don't know why I didn't include that. Well, really, I had done some research and I thought, how in the world do you put a box in a book? Or do you put the book in a box to sell it? I just didn't know. So I did not include that in there. And when the publisher came back, they said, hey, we want to publish your book, but we want to do something unique that we haven't ever done before. We want to put a box in the book. And I said, you're not going to believe this. I brainstormed all kinds of ideas. Here's my ideas. I sent them a list of all the ideas. And one of them was to put a box in the front cover. And I was like, I don't know what this looks like. They made this little box. It's quite a bit bigger than a matchbox, but it looks like a matchbox in the way it's designed. And in the back of the book, there are six little notepads. Mm-hmm. And there's a question at the end of each journal called a joy box note. And I basically ask you a simple little question and ask you to write it on the note. Choose one of the little notes at the back, write it on the note, and put it in your joy box for years to come. Your great, 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 great grandkids will be able to look at that little box with the little notes and know what brought you joy. There's also some journaling prompts at the end of each devotion, and you can write your answers there, and your family, your friends will be able to look through that and say, I never knew that about them. I never knew that that brought them joy. But one of the things that I've had multiple people tell me, which I never expected, people said, your book may look simple, but the questions that you ask made us stop and think.
I would agree.
Yes. And yeah. So that really surprised me, because the questions that I ask were questions that I asked myself when I was writing the devotions. I said, you know, how would I answer this? So I thought through each one of those, but they felt simple to me. But people sometimes don't always stop and think about those little things in life. And that's just the way that my brain functions.
But I think, like, what your point is that people had to really think about it. It wasn't something as simple as what is your favorite color or what is your favorite song. Yeah. It made you turn inward and to really think through some things, which to me is the beauty of a journal, is that you can really process how you feel about things, what frustrates you, all the different emotions that you have. Mm-hmm. And if you're going to talk about joy, it's not as simple as, well, my dog brings me joy. My dog does bring me joy, but why? Because it's unconditional love. That's what it is to me. So when you take that next step and you think through it a little bit deeper, that's where they're benefiting the most. And that's why I wanted to have you on the show because I know that there are people out there who are struggling with all kinds of different things in life, and they're having a hard time finding joy. And your book leads them to that and shows them all the different places that you can find joy. And yes. I just loved it.
Thank you
for spending the time to write it and to research it and to put it into practice, and how it was a reflection of a challenging time for you, but a time where you found joy despite the pain and the grief. And that's what our show is about. It's called Zigzag in One, because we face zigzags in life, but we have to keep moving forward. And you kept moving forward because you kept choosing joy.
Yes.
As we wrap up today, let's talk about what you want the listeners to take away.
No matter what is going on in your life, there's joy to be found. You can look for it because, you know, God created this earth, this world. If you were to stop right now, and this is what I want to encourage the listeners to do, stop where you're at and thank God for everything that's surrounding you. If you were to do that, you're looking, you're exploring, and you're beginning to realize how blessed you truly are.
I love it. That's fantastic. Thank you so much for your time today, Adria. It has been a joy to spend time with you.
Yeah, I have had a great time, and thank you for this podcast and this opportunity.
As we move into 2021, I'm going to invite you to do something. Let's resolve to be on the lookout for joy. As Adria said, experiencing joy often happens with the seemingly small things in life. And if we're looking out for joy, we're going to find it everywhere. And to bring a little joy to your life, Adria has generously offered to have a drawing for the copy of her book, The Joy Box Journal. So here's how it goes. To have your name put in the drawing, comment and share on any of this episode's Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter promos. You can find me as Melanie Brown on Facebook and Twitter, and Melanie_Brown_Overcomer on Instagram. You got to get this done quickly because the drawing will be held on January the 15th. Thanks so much for joining me today. If you've been inspired or encouraged by today's message, would you please subscribe and leave a review on your favorite podcast app? You have no idea how much that means to a podcaster. I am so grateful for your support. Please join me later this month for my interview with Robin Luftig. She is a brain tumor survivor with an incredible story. Until then, keep moving forward.